Before we start with today's episode, I want to address a common challenge that I've noticed among HVACR professionals. They often struggle to keep up with the advancements in heat pump technologies. That's why here at the ESCO Group, along with the HVACR Learning Network, we have an amazing library of courses to equip you with the essential skills for handling today's inverter-driven heat pumps. And better yet, we're offering free access to the first two chapters of our most popular course on the fundamentals of high-performance heat pumps. Check out the link in the show notes to get your free access.
The level of difficulty to get 60 agents across the board, all booking above 90% of their calls. Well, right now they're at 92%. Every 1% of increase in call conversion equates to $3 million in top line revenue. Every 1% equates to $3 million. Now, when we went from 89% to 92%, what does that equal? $9 million. Now, those are astronomical numbers. Those are like, you can't even wrap your head around that, right? As a student, you're like, what are you talking about?
This episode is brought to you by Power Selling Pros, the leaders in transforming customer service teams into revenue-generating powerhouses. With their proven coaching and training membership, they help home service businesses book more jobs and deliver wow experiences that keep customers coming back. Through live trainings and one-on-one coaching sessions twice a month, PSP teaches CSRs how to turn every call into a loyal customer. Trusted by industry giants like Trane, Rheem, Lennox, and ServiceTitan, they're on a mission to help teams serve at the highest level possible. Learn more at www.powersellingpros.com.
We are our own worst enemy. We are the ones that keep us from being our best. Recently heard a story about an older gentleman. He was in a post office. He was in line to get stamps. You could tell he was struggling there in that line. And there was a lady that noticed. So she walked up to him and she said, "You know what? There's these amazing little machines right over there. You can get your stamps there. That way you don't have to wait in this line." And the old man looked at it and said, "You know, I'm really grateful, I appreciate it, but I'd rather wait in the line." Now she couldn't figure this out, it didn't make any sense to her. She could tell that he was struggling. So she persisted. "Come on, come to the machine. I'll show you how to do it, it's easy, it's a piece of cake." And finally the old man looked at her in the eye and said, "You know, the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." And he stayed in the line. Now, how does that make sense to anyone in this room? Well, that's just it. It doesn't make sense. It's emotional. It's not logical. It is about the experience that you create for your customer over and over and over again. That's what it's all about. Your customer experience needs an overhaul. It needs it right now. So how do you do that? Well, your people need people skills. How do we do that? We teach them. We teach them to create wow experiences. What is a wow experience? It's when a customer realizes that you went above and beyond for them. That's a wow experience. How do we do that? Well, we teach them to be grateful. They have a role. They have a responsibility. They need to be able to do it better than we can do it. They become indispensable to you. They become indispensable to their team. You've got to give first. You've got to give first, and you've got to train your CSRs to give first. You've got to train your technicians to give first. You've got to train your comfort advisors to give first. Create value. And when they do, they're going to create a wow experience, and that's how you build long-term relationships. You give first. When people don't do their job, and we wonder why, it could be that they don't care. We need to teach them to care. We need to remind them who the boss is. It's them. They're calling. They're calling.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Show. We're so grateful that you're spending time with us today. And I think Brigham is joining us right now. Let me bring him in. Brigham Dickinson, how are you, sir?
So good.
Fantastic.
So we're going to spend a little bit of time today diving into a couple different topics that are going to be very important for contractors going forward and for our educators to prepare our students for contractors, right? Because today's contractor is a little bit different than when I entered the industry. And I apologize for anyone for having problems with my voice today. I'm fighting a nasty bronchitis from coming back from out on the road on conferences last week. It seems to be kind of part of this season. It's like we go out and we visit a few thousand people. We come home and go, okay, what do we bring with this time?
Just like an elementary teacher.
It does. It feels like that very much so. So everyone that's joining us, we're grateful that you're spending time with us today. Let us know in the chat where you're joining, if you have any questions along the way, because this is going to be probably a different perspective for many of our educators that haven't been out into the business side in a little while. But you know, we're very responsible for preparing our technicians for the industry, for the field. And we also have a lot of contractors that have been joining us, Brigham. Over this last couple of years, we've had a pretty significant increase in contractors and technicians. So this covers quite the span of business. And I enjoy listening to your coaching and your business prep. So what have you seen changing in the world of AI, particularly in this last year?
Well, we train CSRs one-on-one twice a month using their own phone calls.
Right.
And we also have a call center where we're answering the phones ourselves. And for us, AI has been awesome because if one of our agents is on the phone, AI picks it up. Now, if your AI is flexible, it'll give you the ability to even pick up during the middle of the call if you don't like how it's going, or if you do like how it's going, but you're ready to step in because you just got off the last call, you have the ability to do that.
Right.
And in other situations, the AI will book the call, but if you don't like the day that it was booked on or the time that it was booked on, well, then we have the ability to call them and say, hey, how was your experience using our AI? It's new, it's different, we're trying it out. Also looking at your schedule, notice that you booked on Tuesday instead of today. Just wanted to let you know that we do have openings today between this time and that time. Let us know if those times work better for you. Technicians in your area, so on and so forth.
Sure.
But the AI is fantastic when you're on the phone already. If you're on the phone already, you're on the phone already. So for it to be able to pick up as opposed to making the customer wait or sit on hold, it's phenomenal. It's excellent. And of course, there's a lot that we can talk about there with AI. But before I go any further, I want to make sure that I zero in on your question. Did I answer your question or is there more to it?
Yeah, no, because it's starting to change the way that we do business. And for especially us educators, many of us educators were technicians or contractors out in the field. And then once we make that transition into the classroom, well, the classroom, you know, kind of like our businesses, haven't really developed a ton in the last couple of decades. But now that technology is really pushing us forward, our industry is rapidly changing. And so we're trying to make sure that we're preparing our students as much as we can for those experiences when they get out at the industry. Because, you know, when I was in the field, we didn't talk about artificial intelligence. It wasn't even created yet. I didn't even know how it would apply to our industry. So if I had if I went out to teach a classroom and a student said, hey, so how's artificial intelligence working in this industry? I would be kind of dumbfounded. I mean, I know some things that I've seen for writing, but from the business side, that really kind of changes things.
So right now, a technician, when they're stuck, the condenser outside and they're troubleshooting it and they're not sure what to do. In the past, they'd call their most tenured, right? The most seasoned technician in the company.
Absolutely.
And hope that
They're available.
Exactly. They can walk them through it. Well, there certainly is AI today. I mean, even on ChatGPT, where you can simply ask, hey, here's what's going on. Can you show me all the troubleshooting steps for this thing that's going on with the condenser? And it'll outline for you step by step what you do. So the cool thing there is that you don't have to wait on hold for that seasoned tech to walk out of their job, right? Walk off their job site, call you and interrupt them while you're waiting for an answer, so on and so forth. So you have the ability at your fingertips to get all the answers you need to provide a great service to each of your customers. I would say the other thing is that CSRs have been recorded for the last, I don't know, 15 years. Their calls have been recorded. And when I say CSRs, it's people who answer the phones.
Sure.
So inside of a heating and cooling company's call center, chances are those CSRs calls are being recorded. And they are held accountable to their performance based on what they hear on the recording. And so sure. Today, we have the technology where the technician can also be monitored and recorded. Not only that, there's AI that will listen to the customer, how the customer is responding to certain questions, how they're interacting with the technician. And while the technician goes out to the truck, he can pull up his phone if it's being recorded, mm-hmm. and the AI will suggest what type of behavior style or a personality style that this homeowner is.
Really?
And based on that behavior style, be able to determine how to approach the close of the sale. So there's so much technology being thrown at us. And I will say this, for every student right now that is learning and training inside your school, I would highly suggest that you embrace this technology. If you do, you will have a leg up on the to nerd technicians that are out there. Why? Because this is uncomfortable for them. This thing called change, this thing called AI, it is very scary, very uncomfortable. And of course, my biggest task with my team is to help technicians already in the field to get comfortable with the fact that, hey, your call handling team, their calls have been recorded for the last 15 years. So that the fact that it hasn't been here for technicians for 15 years is astounding to me. It's here now.
Yeah.
Embrace it, right? So with these younger techs, you know what? Be smart. Go on to ChatGPT. See what it has to offer. Also, take a look at Rilla. See what Rilla has to offer. ServiceTitan also came out with ServPro, which is very similar. Mm-hmm. Get familiar with these things. Embrace these things. In fact, when you go through the interviewing process, tell them that you are very excited. You're not hesitant at all. You're excited to become more self-aware and engaged using this technology to be quicker, more efficient, faster, and more successful. Because at the end of the day, you guys, all these tools, they're meant to help you become more successful. And as you experience more success earlier on in your career, the more money you'll make, you'll be more self-reliant and comfortable in your position, because you're making six figures a whole lot faster than all your peers who are spending money in vocational college.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, Josh, that's a great comment about, you know, with cutting edge technology. These are the things that are sculpting the way that our businesses operate. And that's why I feel like it's so important for us to understand that from the educational level. Because if we're not preparing the students for what they could encounter out in the field, we're really doing a disservice. You know, some of our educators are struggling just getting to modern digital tools, let alone software that is powered by artificial intelligence that is diving through that data, starting to give some results and recommendations. Well, when we talk about exactly what you're saying, we've been doing this for 15 years in the customer service side. And all of that data is now helping and assisting that technician out in the field. I couldn't even imagine having that kind of a response coming from a software like, all right, I'm getting dispatched out to this customer and I'm not sure what to expect, because all I've got in my notes is customer hot, very unhappy.
And that was our common call 20 years ago, right?
We would approach this job going, okay, what am I getting myself into? Now we actually have the power to give me an idea of the person that I'm actually going to be encountering when I get there. That's just absolutely fascinating.
Yes. Yes. You'll be able to learn about them. What motivates them? What demotivates them? You'll be able to listen to the call twice before you even pick up the phone to call them back. And chances are they're not as hot as you thought.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we were actually just having some conversations a couple of weeks ago. I did a podcast recording, just released it with Alan Coggins from Cocoon, talking about how artificial intelligence is interacting with the HVAC industry and the use of that technology in robots, not right now, but in the next 20 years, of how that technology is going to be introduced into our industry. And I got a lot of mixed comments. I got some that, oh, we'll never see that kind of technology. And then I had other people who are following this quick evolution of technology and went, I think it's more like 5 years and not 20 years. And that's exactly what we're seeing, is that the artificial intelligence is now moved into our industry very significantly. When I was at AHR a few weeks ago, I spent quite a bit of time with Johnson Controls talking about artificial intelligence moving into commercial building automations in particularly, and how artificial intelligence is already pulling in this data, exactly like you're talking about through the CSR conversations. And it's actually pulling in the data from the sensors from our building technologies, right? All of our temperature, humidity, our equipment, you know, pressure transducers, temperature thermistors, and is now moving into a state of predictive maintenance. We've already passed the whole preventative maintenance, and now we're in a mode of complete predictive maintenance. And then one case study that we had in California, we had a college that had implemented an artificial intelligence program into the building management and was able to look at all of the flow control valves in this building. And these flow valves were just, you know, like a few years old. And artificial intelligence was actually able to read all of the previous data, like you're saying, this past 5-10 years of data, and go, we actually have a deficiency in this valve, this valve, this valve, and this valve. And so the initial data that came back, the building management went, oh, there's no way. Those things are only like 5 years old. And so when they went to the field and actually pulled those valves out and sent them back to the manufacturer, they went, oh yeah, there's absolutely, you've got a problem with these, and they're only running about 30 to 35% flow. That changes the game, right? That was artificial intelligence that looked at data, created trends, compared it to other known trends, and went, yeah, we're not flowing properly over here. So if I can have that kind of data and a service ticket that has now evaluated my customer before I get there, it has, you know, a decent idea of what the job potentially could be based on that customer's input, that's an absolute game changer for a service call.
It really is, as long as you embrace the technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to arm yourself with the technology. And guys, just track for a moment the amount of time you spend on TikTok. And then if you were to spend an equal amount of time on ChatGPT, it would make a world of difference for you in your career. It is phenomenal tech. And what it'll do is it'll open the door for all the other technology that's out there, such as Rilla, such as some of the CSR technology that's coming out that Searchlight's putting together. The last event I was at, there were, I'd say, probably 5 AI companies. And when I say AI, I'm referring to those who use robots to answer their phones from beginning to end. And as I was listening to them, they all sounded the same. They had their own little phone booths to demonstrate the call. All the same. Same. There was no differentiation between any of them. And I'd also say that with my own call center, we've been testing them out. In fact, we had 6 clients a few months ago leave us because they said, hey, we're gonna go all AI. So they went all in, and they've all come back since then saying, man, it was a disaster. It's not
maybe a balance of these two, but I am not gonna like jump over this bridge and go, what's the water look like down there?
Totally. Well, what we have here is 2 competing models. And model number one, I mean, you go to McDonald's today and you have these screens where you can make your order right there on the screen. Essentially, the robot's doing everything, right? They've even showed results where it's easier to upsell with these screens. Add-ons are a bit easier because it's not intrusive, right? You ask, but it's not intrusive, or at least it gives the feeling that it's that way, because it's not a human saying, hey, do you also want to upsize your fries, right? It just says, hey, do you want that? Click on it. Yes or no. They get to yes or no quick, right? That's one model, and it's a model that works for McDonald's. Certainly it does. But then there's the Chick-fil-A model, where they've doubled down on the amount of humans ushering people through the car lot. They found that 30% of their shrinkage, the amount of people they lose, is because of the wait time in the line. So they doubled up on humans and the customer experience to keep them in the line. Now, this is the same strategy that Disney uses when they have people in their line. Now, when I say same strategy, what I'm referring to here is this. You know how they make the line very scenic and part of the experience? the same as the ride. Whereas if you go to Six Flags, sure, it's just a line with a fence, right? And you're sitting for 2 hours in this fenced line. It's not very fun, right? You're seeing people have fun for 2 minutes or even less than on that ride that you want to be on. And, you know, once you get there, it's not worth sitting in the line again unless all of a sudden nobody's there waiting anymore, which happens, by the way. But Disney creates the experience in the line where you've got things to look at, things to interact with. And, of course, Chick-fil-A does the same thing. Again, they're focused on customer experience. Now, the benefit of creating experience with humans gives you the ability to justify your price. Whereas if you are the same, what we do is we create endless sameness. If we create sameness over the phone, and look, you guys, if we're creating sameness over the phone today, who's to say that we're not creating sameness in the home as well at some point in 10, 15 years? So, and we get to the point where we're just installers, not technicians at all. We got to be smart about this, and we need to avoid sameness. Unless you like the, you know, the Amazon model, the Donald's model. If you like that, I'm telling you guys, that's a race to the bottom. Because you can't differentiate yourself. You can't differentiate yourself. You can't justify your price. The reason why so many companies are investing in our industry right now, we went from nobody knows this industry very well to, I don't know how else to put it. We're very sick.
Yeah, the private equity investment is just mind-boggling.
Our industry is very sexy right now. Okay, I don't know how else to put it.
No, you're right, 100%.
There are more millionaires coming out of our industry than ever before. And two are going to be billionaires very soon. Just off the top of my head, I'm willing to bet that either Ken Goodrich or Tommy Mallow is going to get there. Both of them are very close. And so bottom line, coming out of our industry. So bottom line, where we are at, we want to stay here because we're able to justify our margin. We're able to justify our price. And we've proven that even in a down economy, we can be very successful. Okay, we were very successful during COVID. We're recession-proof, some say. We maintain that while we maintain our customer experience. So how do we maintain our customer experience? We allow AI to assist us in improving that customer experience, but we don't allow it to take over.
Exactly. Use it as a tool.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so now we're getting somewhere. So that helps break that barrier of the restraints of moving into AI, because a lot of people fear AI, right? They fear it's going to take over the job. They fear it's going to replace this person. They're going to move into a sector that is uncomfortable. But if we take the opportunity approach and we look at it as, no, it's not there for that. It's here as a tool to make us more efficient. That kind of changes that discomfort, and now we can look at it as an opportunity and not as a disadvantage, because there are jobs out in the world that could potentially be replaced by artificial intelligence alone. Absolutely. But like I said, when you get into the trades, that's a whole different story, and especially with the development of technology, we're going to have to utilize technology for all aspects of our businesses. So let's talk a little bit about how the customer service experience has changed by implementing artificial intelligence so that we can have kind of a mirror, an idea of what that could do, even in the installation and service.
Yeah, so we need to embrace a set of customer-centric principles in order to have a better understanding of how we use AI as a tool. So here's what I mean by that. From the beginning, we've been teaching a skill set called the pattern for excellence. Okay, the pattern for excellence is a set of principles, 8 principles to be exact. The first is positive attitude. Second is preparation, well practiced in the way that you go about interacting with the customer, showing the customer that you're listening, showing them that you care, reassuring them they've called the right place, asking the right questions, creating value, being grateful. Those are the 8 principles. As you do that, you're going to create a wow experience for the customer. All right. So first things first, psychologically, I want the customer to feel understood, cared about, and reassured at the beginning of every phone call. When calls start coming in quickly, we start thinking about logistics. Okay. What's your address? Where are you located? I'm trying to logistically figure all this out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's your problem, right? That's the dispatcher's problem. Coordinating, that's their thing. If you let the customer see the thing that you're doing, you know, the mechanics behind the magic, it's no longer magic.
Oh, sure.
So you need to make sure the magic is maintained. In other words, when you start embracing AI, the magic is, regardless, the customer feels understood, cared about, reassured. If you do that first, everything else is going to be easy. Let me show you how easy this is. Customer gets on the phone. They want a ballpark price. Now, the AI right now, they don't know how to handle it. You're going to lose that call if it's AI answering that call. So if it is AI that answers that call and the customer says, hey, I'm just looking for a ballpark price. The AI, if it's smart, if it's intelligent, will say, you know what? That's a great question for a live agent. Let me get you in touch with them right away.
Live agent.
Okay. And so that is very active then right now. So we're hearing a lot of the artificial intelligence as that first call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I want a ballpark price. I want to know what you charge to come out. And I want to talk to a technician or ones the AI cannot handle right now. They can pretend.
Okay.
They can try. They're going to lose it. Okay. And I would say that's 30 to 40% of your calls that come in. So very simply, program your AI to say, you know what? It's a great question for a live agent. Let's get them over to the live agent. Transfer it over to the live agent. What's the live agent do? Follows the same principles. I'm going to help that customer feel understood, cared about, reassured. All right? Right out of the gate. As opposed to, what's your address? Where are you located? Have you ever done work with us before? None of that. Okay? Get rid of all of that. Customer needs to feel understood, cared about first. They're not going to want to give you their address, tell you where they're located until they feel understood, cared about, reassured first. So how do you do it? I'm looking for a ballpark price. Great. Tell me more about our situation. What's going on? Well, I've got this air conditioner. It's blowing hot air. My gosh, it's terrible. How long has it been doing that? Oh, last couple of days. Well, look, we can totally help you with that. When would you like us to come out? Oh, this afternoon would be good. Right? Now, some people listening are going, it can't be that easy. Well, for most of the time, it is that easy. Why? Because it's not logical. It's emotional. Okay? Emotionally, the customer wants to feel understood. Emotionally, they want to feel cared about. Emotionally, they want to feel reassured they've gone to the right place. They don't know if they called the right place. That's why they're asking these questions. They're essentially saying, hey, I don't know the difference between you and the next guy, so I've heard your price. So naturally, I'm going to ask, what do you charge? Because that's the only thing I know to differentiate, unless you show me otherwise.
Something else. Exactly. Yeah. Because numbers for numbers, that's the only comparison I have. You go above numbers, and then now I have something that I don't already.
And that's how we justify our price.
That's how we stay slim and attractive, right? Metaphorically speaking.
In the industry, we've got to maintain the industry, okay? In order to continue to perpetuate millionaires inside of our industry, we also need to maintain our margin.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, you know, one of the things came in from Josh. Yeah, you're right. It's intriguing how the etiquette actually is first thing. I know here at ESCO, you know, we pride ourselves in having a customer satisfaction relationship with all of our customers. Like you want to reach ESCO, it's actually very simple. You call us. We want to have that customer experience with you because there's nothing like talking to a person. And yes, artificial intelligence is replacing some of that, but it's best used for its analytics, right? To help us become better at what we're doing or to fill those voids when that phone can't be answered in that first couple calls. I know myself, if I call and that thing rings 7 times, I'm likely going to hang up. I at least want to have someone recognize that I'm present and that they are interested in working with me in some form or another. So I may not even catch that first call if it's artificial intelligence. I've had some phone calls that I've made and I've wondered that first person that I talked to, is that a real person or not? Because it's kind of hard to tell. But if they transfer me to someone that is absolutely human, that actually creates a different atmosphere. Yeah,
they're doing everything they can to make it as human as possible while at the same time avoiding trickery. No human wants to feel tricked by a robot. So being 100%. Forthright, programming the AI to be forthright, and if they're on that call and they book it, fine. If I'm a human, I'm going to be calling him or I'm going to have my team call them and say, hey, Mr. Jones, looks like you're able to jump on the schedule with our AI. How was your experience? Did you like it? Did you not like it? And then we give that feedback to the AI If it was something that needs to be improved upon, if it was great, fantastic, we check that box, we take a look at when they're booked, and we decide whether or not we want to push to move them up. Just like we would with CSRs. The CSR's job, the call handler's job, is to book the call. Book the call, book the call, book the call. Let the dispatcher decide whether or not we need to move the call that you booked. Okay? Dispatcher's job is to play a beautiful game of Tetris, right? Where we fit as many appointments into each day as possible. That requires humans. Now, there's some really great technology. Say, for example, ServiceTitan has a very intelligent dispatching program, but it still needs oversight from humans to maintain the experience. Okay, so what's happening to a CSR's job? I think this is important to answer. It's going to be less and less phone taking or phone answering and more inside selling. So here's what I mean by that. As I show the customer that I'm listening, caring, reassuring, what I'm doing is I'm creating an environment of safety, comfort, and fun. Inside that environment, what I've done is I've just created a buying environment. The customer feels comfortable buying. So after I've booked that call, or whether the appointment's booked or not, at the very end, I can simply say, hey, Mr. Jones, I'm looking at your notes. I noticed that even though that we've worked with you more than once over the years, you still don't have a club membership with us. I'm wondering why not. Now, let's say that a CSR takes in 30 calls a day, or they interact with 30 customers a day, all right? They ask that question at the end of every phone call. Let's say that 20 out of 30 decide, I'm good. I don't need it. And no worries whatsoever. We're not going to push it. We'll simply say, hey, if you change your mind, talk to your technician about it. Let's say that the 10, right, 10 out of the 30 say, well, what is it? Glad you asked. It's awesome. We come out in the spring. We come out in the fall. We make sure it's running at peak efficiency. The best part about it is it prevents things like this, the thing that you're dealing with right now, from happening. If you want, I can get you going on it right now. Now, let's say that 2 out of the 10 decide to move forward right there in the spot. All right. They decide to move forward, and you provide a commission to the CSR. Now, commission can be $10. It could be $20. This morning, I was talking to a company who pays their team $25 for every service agreement they sell. Let's take a look at that for a moment. Okay, so if I sell 2 a day, I make $50 a day. That's $250 a week, right? 250 times 50. What is that? I'm going to pull up my calculator real quick because I'm not as fast as everybody else.
You know, and that's actually one of the things that we hear a lot from technicians is that, you know, they really don't like to be the sales, the driving force. And so if we can have that conversation up front in-house on that first call, it alleviates some of that tension, some of that pressure on that technician to introduce these things, which many of them are great opportunities, but technicians tend to want to go fixed and not want to push. So it's very intriguing that you're introducing it right up.
Yeah, right over the phone. And I want to come back to their reluctance to sell in just a moment. So if we can make a mental note.
Okay.
If they're being compensated $25 a service agreement, essentially that's $12,500 a year. Clifton, what could a CSR do with an extra $12,500 a year? I mean, now I can pay a trip to Disney, pay off my car payment. There's so many, it changes everything for them. Changes everything for them. So our goal is twofold with our CSRs, everybody inside the office. Our goal is to create a culture of training where everybody practices, everybody listens to their own phone calls, and everybody's working to promote other services that we provide. So if a customer calls in and they're always calling for heating and cooling, most heating and cooling companies also offer another service, whether it be solar, whether it be plumbing, whether it be electrical. And chances are most consumers had no idea that they offer plumbing, electrical, or solar. Mr. Jones, I'm looking at your notes and noticed that you've always used this for heating and cooling over the years. Really appreciate your business. Did you know that we also do plumbing? Did you know that we also do solar? Did you know that we also do electrical? And if I booked that appointment, would you not pay me for that? Of course you would. And so we keep it simple. We don't do percentages. We just flat rate, right? And we want them to keep score on their own on a daily basis where it's easy to calculate, right? We don't want it to be a surprise when their check comes. We want them to easily calculate how much they're making for themselves day in and day out. Why? Because you get what you focus on. And so what we do is we arm them through training, through a culture of training, with all the tools they need to transition from just a call taker to someone who is actually promoting our services and products, right? Inside sales. This is important for two reasons. Number one, we want them to stay there longer. Okay, we want them to stay in that seat longer. If you don't give them a way to make more money, they will move on. It's a job. Okay, our goal is to transition that into a career where they not only want to be there, they want to stay in that seat because they can make as much money as they want to make. And if you give them the ability to make more money with inbound calls that come in, well, let's decide for a moment that when we look at the board, we're only at 50% capacity tomorrow, 40% the next day, 30% the next day. We got to keep our technicians busy. And if I'm actively making sales on the inbound calls, it's going to be a lot easier for me to make the transition to outbound it. And now I bring the group together and we say, okay, guys, right? We're going to rally the troops a little bit. You're going to call 100. You're going to call 100. You're going to call 100. You're going to go about it the same way as you do the inbound calls. Hey, Mr. Jones, we were out to your home 6 months ago. We worked on this product or that service. How's it going? What is it? It's a happy call. It's a happy call. If they say, hey, it's amazing. You guys did a wonderful job. You know what? I really appreciate you saying that. The only reason why I ask is because I noticed that you don't have a club membership with us. I'm wondering why not. All right. Now, we know that it's a numbers game. It's been a numbers game on the inbound calls. So on the outbound calls, there's going to be some who say, I'm good there. That's fine. Don't push it. But those who say, well, what is it? I'm glad you asked. You see, what it is is it's a preventative maintenance. It prevents things like the thing that happened 6 months ago from happening. We come out of the spring, we come out of the fall. We make sure our system's running at peak efficiency. And the best part about it is you can prevent this from happening in the future. Now, if you wanted, it's $20 a month. I can get you going on it right now. And we sell it. Now, let's say the customer isn't happy. And they go, I'm glad you called in. I was about to call you back. This thing isn't working. And you fixed it only 6 months ago. Guess what? You just got a replacement for your technician. And you're keeping your team busy. So whether calls are coming in or going out, or you've got to call out, now you've got a team of individuals, an inside sales team, that is hustling and bustling to keep your techs busy. So what's happening? Well, we let the AI take that initial call, the easy calls, the ones that anybody can book. We take the hard calls. I want a ballpark price. I want to go charge them out. I want to talk to the technician, right? We also call back the ones that the AI booked. We call those individuals back. We make sure they're good. We make sure they're happy, that they love the experience they had with the AI. And we say, hey, Mr. Jones, I'm looking at your notes. Notice you don't have a club membership with us. I'm wondering why not. And we upsell right there over the phone. Okay, so that's how I find, in fact, if you wanted, Clifton, I could give you access to a free happy call script. Is that something you feel would be beneficial for the group here that's listening?
Yeah, I'd love to check it out sometime.
Okay. In fact, I could just give you guys a number to text, and that's how you could get the happy call script. Do you want to do that?
Sure, yes. Go ahead and throw it in your chat.
I'll just tell you real quick here as I pull it up. Now, we still need to talk about technicians and their reluctance to sell. Let me make sure that you've got this. In fact, I'll pull it up while we're talking about it. Is this making sense so far?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things you'd mentioned was like the technicians and the reluctance of technicians, because that is something that we have to prepare, because, you know, a lot of students coming out of the classroom, you know, they're not taught much of that, that customer etiquette, which is a very important part of all of our jobs out in the industry. And so let's talk ways that you assist in that side of it.
Absolutely. Okay, so I found that happy call script real quick. So the text, all you have to do is type in happy. So you just text 385-247-3714, type in happy, submit happy. It's just push the send button, and all we'll need is your email address, and we'll get you that happy call script. One reason why I want you to have this is because I don't want to just tell you what to do and then leave you to your own devices. I'd like to have a tool for you to use. So once again, it's 385-247-3714. Type in happy and you'll get it. And feel free, Clifton, to put that in the chat
box. I'm in chat. I'm going to make sure I get that right again.
385-247-3714. Text happy to that number and you'll get that happy call script. I had a contractor call me over the weekend and he said, dude, we've been using your happy call script and it's been amazing to keep our techs busy. In fact, we took the time and calculated his call conversion and how much he is losing to poor call handling quality. And you know what? Let's make a mental note and let's talk about that math in just a minute. But right now, let's talk about the techs, okay? So technicians.
I don't talk about sales at all.
The minute he used the word sell or sales in general with technicians, they mentally shut off. Why? Because they don't want to feel like salesmen. They want to go in, they want to do a good job, and they want to leave. Don't try and sell them on being salespeople. It's never going to happen. By and large, it's not going to happen. There's a few outliers, but guess what? They were some long before you tried to convince them on it. Leave it alone. Stay away from the word. Okay. I learned this with CSR. CSRs don't want to sell either, but they do want to provide a great customer experience. So let's focus on that, the experience you create for the customer. So I was at an event and there was a family staying at our house, some guests staying at our house, and they shut the door of our guest bedroom. And for whatever reason, the doorknob broke. So their stuff, all their luggage, all their clothes was essentially locked in our guest bedroom. So my wife calls me while I'm at an event. I live in Utah. I'm in Florida at an event. She calls me and she says, hey, kid you not, Clifton, I was 30 minutes away from speaking on a stage. And she says, hey,
not a problem.
How's it going? I'm great. What's going on? And she's like, so our guests are staying here and their stuff got locked in the door. What should we do? Should we knock the door down? And I'm like, no, I don't want to pay for a new door. Just call a locksmith. And they go, oh, she's like, man, I just thought that they opened car doors when you lock your keys in there. I'm like, no. They open doors of all kinds. So she calls the locksmith. The locksmith comes over, basically says that the doorknob was faulty. And he had a doorknob in his truck. He switched out the doorknob, opened the door, and that was it. That was it. He left. I said, okay, cool. How many doorknobs do we have just like that in our house? And did we not think to replace all the doorknobs? If it's the same doorknob, and it is, why wouldn't we replace them all? Why? Because, well, we've got a granddaughter. If that granddaughter gets stuck in one of those faulty doorknobs, I'm probably not going to wait for a locksmith to get her out. I might be replacing a door. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so what does a good job look like for that locksmith? A good job is to at least ask, you know what? I have plenty of doorknobs in my truck where I can get them at this distributor, that distributor very quickly and have it all installed by the end of the day. If you would like, I can do that. Now, is that sales or is that just good customer service? I'll let you be the judge. And so how we do that, when I get in front of technicians, I ask them a very simple question. Clifton, feel free to use this anytime you want. I ask them a question I wouldn't ask CSRs. It doesn't work for CSRs. It only works for techs. And it doesn't matter how early it is in the morning, right? Here's the question. Guys, how do you get kissed on a date? Now, it's funny. They don't need coffee anymore. They're sitting up in their chair, right? They're sitting upright. They're engaged. They're leaning forward because they're about to learn something cool. Exactly. And even if they're married, I know that they haven't been kissed in weeks, right? They're excited. And so I simply say, look, Dennis, if you're on a date, first thing you want to do is make sure they feel safe. Because if they don't feel safe, you're not going to get kissed. Or at least not willingly. And let's not even go there, right? After a few chuckles. And so secondly, they've got to feel comfortable, right? They've got to feel comfortable in their own skin, all right? So you've got to do everything you can to help them feel comfortable. And lastly, they need to have just a little bit of fun. You see, in that environment where they feel safe, they feel comfortable, they're having fun, you are likely to get kissed, even if it's on a first date. Now, usually at this point, I say, hey, ladies, chime in here. Am I right or not? And most kind of like, yeah, you're absolutely right. But we also have smart allocate technicians that raise their hand and they say, wait a minute, you want us to kiss our customers? No, I don't want you to kiss your customers. But I do want you to create an environment of safety, comfort, and fun inside the customer's home. So what have we done? We've created a buying environment. Okay, people love to buy. When they feel safe, they feel comfortable, and they're having just a little bit of fun. That's the environment we want to create. Now, that takes a whole lot longer than the 2 seconds you spend inside the front door of a customer's home. I have been known to spend 10 to 15 minutes just inside the front door of the home, just connecting with that customer. What am I doing? I'm listening. I'm caring. I'm reassuring. The same principles we use to teach CSRs to book calls and wow customers are the same principles we use to create an environment of safety, comfort, and fun inside the customer's home. We listen. We show them that we care. We reassure them we can absolutely help them with this or that. There's one time where the homeowner's kids were watching Finding Dory. And I cued in on that and said, oh my gosh, Finding Dory, I love that show. It's fantastic. And all of a sudden we started talking about the real message behind Finding Dory. And we sat there and talked for about 10 to 15 minutes. Of course, the technician was standing right next to me going, what are we talking about? What's going on?
Why are we talking about a kid's show?
Now, right? That sort of thing. Next thing you know, after about 10, 15 minutes of this, the customer kind of turns his back a little bit toward towards the rest of the house. He says, hey, he kind of motions to us. He said, hey, follow me. I want to show you something. What just happened? We earned the tour. You see, our job is not just to go out and do the thing that we were called out to do, but to take care of everything that the customer needs done, all the things that we can personally affect. And the way that we get that done, the way that we do that, is by earning the tour of the house. Now, as we get the tour, we might notice things, right? We want to be curious as we go through this tour. Now, Simi might see an inhaler on the coffee table. Or we might pass by a room that's filled full of storage because, oh, I don't know, because it's not very comfortable during extreme weather. And so they just don't go in there, or they don't like to go in there. They use it for storage. You don't know all those things until you get very curious as you go through this tour, right? And they're going to show you things that are relevant to what you do as a technician, as well as not so relevant. And that's okay. You sift out the stuff that makes sense or that doesn't make sense, and you maintain the things that do make sense. And what you do is you provide options based on your curiosity. All the options. Now, as technicians, we have a tendency to be minimalists. We throw a Band-Aid on it. We get it working again until next time you call us. This isn't the wisest thing to do. Okay, they like you, but they don't like you. So you want to take care of everything while you're there. And also, our goal here is to maintain a shopping environment. It's not shopping if you give them one solution to choose from. That's not shopping. You see, when I shop, I like to look and try on several different things. And then when I say me, that's a bit of a stretch. I'm sitting in a corner in a store while I watch my wife try on several different things, right? It's 2 hours of my life. I'm never going to get back, but she's happy. And when she's happy, I'm happy, right? She's safe. She's comfortable. She's having a little bit of fun, okay? It's a great environment. It's a buying environment. You maintain that environment by providing several options. I'd say at least 5 to 6, even the ones that don't make sense to you guys. Why? Because that's how people shop. You give them options. Many. You provide all the options and you simply get them to yes or no. Which one would you prefer? Which one makes most sense to you? How do you want to move forward? All those are great questions to get them to yes or no. At this point in the game, I usually have a technician or two say, wait. No selling? And then I respond, well, did I say anything about selling? No. Did you say anything about selling? No. All I want you to do is create an environment of safety, comfort, fun. Earn the tour. Inside that tour, I want you to be very curious about what's going on inside the customer's home. Pay attention. Have your antennas up, so to speak, metaphorically. Provide all the options, at least 5 or 6, and get them to yes or no. That's it. That's what a good job looks like. No one likes to sell, but everybody likes to do a good job. All we need to do is paint the picture for what a good job looks like.
Sure. And it all feeds right back into that company culture, like kind of back where we started. And so as a company, you're keeping that same culture from your CSRs right down through the technicians, and it becomes part of the company itself. It's the culture that the customer gets comfortable with.
Now, I promised you some math. I was talking to a customer over the weekend, and his call conversion was at 60%. Now, our objective is to get him to up above 90. We have our own call center that books 93% of their phone calls. We work with Tommy Mello's team, A1 Garage Door. This is the individual who sold his A1 garage door company. I think it was for $200 million. Can you imagine? Garage doors, $200 million. Now, he invested half of it back in. His objective is to get the billion. And according to Tommy, he is on track to achieve his goal. First $1 billion organization in the industry. Pretty incredible stuff. But last year, he was at 89%. In fact, there's a short little video I could send you, Clifton. We'll put that in the notes as well. I'll just text it to you after we're done here. Sure. And you can put it in the show notes. It's just a minute and a half long. where he talks about his experience. But he wanted to get his team, and he has over 60 agents, and he wanted to get his team up over 90 as well. Imagine the level of difficulty to get 60 agents across the board all booking above 90% of their calls. Well, right now they're at 92%. 92% is where they're at. And so here's what he said in this video you'll see. He says that every 1% of increase in call conversion equates to $3 million in top line revenue. Every 1% equates to $3 million. Now, when we went from 89% to 92%, what does that equal? $9 million. Now, those are astronomical numbers. Those are like, you can't even wrap your head around that, right? As a student, you're like, what are you talking about, right? I just want to provide for my family, right? I've got a kid and I want to provide for them. What are we talking about right now? So let me give you another example. Let's say that, in fact, this guy over the weekend, we did the same math. Basically, what we did is we said, hey, what was your top line revenue from last year? And he gave me that top line. I said, okay, what's 1% of your top line revenue? And he came up with that number. So that 1%, you times that by the amount of call conversion you want. In other words, he said, hey, I'm at 60. I want to be at 90. I said, okay, cool. Take that 1% of your top line revenue and times it by 30. Because when you get from 60 to 90, there's a 30% difference there. So just times it by 30. We did the math. We found out that $1.2 million is what he lost due to a 60% call conversion. 1.2 million. This is the industry's biggest blind spot. I did an interview with Ken Goodrich, the owner of Ghetto. Well, he was the owner of Ghetto until he sold it for mega stuff. Okay. I had a chance to interview him.
Right.
He said he couldn't get past 5 million until he started sitting in his call center. And he wouldn't leave his call center until he figured out what he needed to do to build on the culture inside that call center. It is the biggest blind spot inside of our industry. Why? Because most business owners used to be technicians.
Yeah.
They could relate to their technicians, right? I haven't heard once where a CSR becomes a business owner, right? It's not impossible. Okay. My operations manager used to run a call center before she started with us. In fact, our top salesperson, she's our sales manager. She interviewed twice at Power Selling Pros before we hired her. That wasn't my idea, by the way. I wanted to hire her right out of the gate, but I was overruled. That's my story, and I'm sticking to her. Good.
There you go.
So, I've met CSRs that I've trained that are now comfort advisors, very successful comfort advisors. But it's very rare to see them start their own business. So it's mostly technicians. It's mostly technicians that start their own business. And because business owners used to be technicians, they spend more time with their technicians, they train their technicians, they hang out with their technicians. Call center is an afterthought, and that needs to stop.
Hmm. Okay, very intriguing.
All right, so tell us a little bit about how we can connect and learn more about what you're doing at Power Selling.
Yeah. So let's say you have a team of CSRs that you're working with. You might also have some technicians where the technology, whether it's Rilla, whether it's ServPro, if you're using those technologies with your techs, we have a team of call monitors that will monitor those calls and provide coaching to your technicians. We also monitor CSRs. We've been doing it for the last 16 years. And we coach them twice a month using their own phone calls, right over the phone or via Zoom, whichever you prefer. So if you've got a team of CSRs, we will go in and effectively take that responsibility off your plate. We'll provide the coaching. We'll provide the accountability. We'll get them to the point where they're outbounding when you're not completely booked. We'll make sure that they're booking very difficult calls, the ones where the customer just wants a ballpark price. They just want to know if charts come out, just want to talk to a technician. There's about 30 to 40% of your calls. We can help you with all those things. And I appreciate you bringing that up. It is powersellingpros.com, powerselling pros.com. There is a demo link on that front page. Just click on the demo link and you'll be able to schedule a demo, and we can custom build a plan to coach your CSRs as well as hold your technicians accountable. That is, as long as they're being recorded, so that we can do the same thing for techs as we do for CSRs and have been doing for the last 16 years. So let's coach them. Let's get their call conversions up. Let's make sure that the call convert the experience is amazing, and maintain the reputation we have in this industry of high margins and great businesses.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And we did a podcast. Hard to believe it's been almost a year ago that you and I did a podcast. So for those that have missed that, you grab that QR, I'll take you back to season 2, episode 16, where we went into some of these items and, you know, in building that culture with inside of your company. And it was a fantastic opportunity for us to hang out. That was the first chance we actually sat down and started talking.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Brigham, I sure appreciate you hanging out with us today. And we're grateful that you all have hung out and learned a little bit more about AI and company culture in our industry. Just so you can see how it is changing, to get a perspective of what the industry is looking like from the outside. I really hope to see everyone next week at the National HVACR Education Conference. I'm assuming I'm going to be able to get there. Today's like the first day I've had a little bit of relief from this bronchitis. So went to Dr. Hay, and so like feeling full of meds and caffeine. I think we'll be all right. But we've got about 100 classes next week covering a variety of different topics for our industry. We even have training tracks specifically for contractors, you know, to really look at your own business, and yeah, especially on the technical training side. But we'll also have a variety of, you know, personal and professional development as well. So, Brigham, thank you for joining us. I'm grateful that you spent some time with us. And we'll see you all next week on Did You Know, the ESCO HVAC Show. Bye, everybody.